Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles. I hope everybody's had a blessed day today. We are going to be continuing in the Kingdom of Love. All right. All right. Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine, honey. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Yes,
we are going to proceed. Amen. 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 Just wanting to get ready for this Passover.
Yes, we do.
Amen. All right. Let us do our statement of faith, and I'm going to leave your phone open. Let's do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in and get into this precept.
Okay.
Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for today. Hallelujah. Thank you for your manifold blessing. Thank you for keeping us safe. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We just want to glorify you. We want to lift you up and magnify your name. For truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. And we can be so easy today. Father, we raise you up on high. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me have the sisters to cover the head. Brothers, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread. And to observe your word, Father. Father, we just come together to learn what would thus saith Yah, and what you would have us to do. Father, we have prepared a place here for you. Be with us. Feed us. We are hungry for you, Father, hungry for your word and for your presence. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All
amen.
Right. Let us... go to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 46 through 53. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their hearts and with all their soul, and in the land of their enemy, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their father, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, and thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, unto the supplication of thy people Israel, and to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. We are doing this Kingdom of Love, and we are coming from the book of Ephesians tonight. And our reference verse is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet savor, a sweet smell. Let us go, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to do the whole thing. Because we have to understand that the Most High is telling us how he wants us to love and why he wants us to love. And this glare is killing me. I should have put my desk the other way. Okay, now we're talking about the kingdom of love. And what we have to understand is the Most High wants us to walk upright before him. And he does, you know, he loves us, but he's not going to be foolish for us. And he's not going to allow us to be foolish around him. And so when we get this mindset that, you know, the Most High just has to love us no matter what, no matter what we do, that's not true love. You love somebody, but then you don't let them get away with everything. You know, sometimes you have to chastise someone when you love them, a child. And the Most High does us the same way. But in this book of Ephesians, he's telling us, out of love, what he don't allow and what's not going to fare well for us if we walk in these ways. So starting in verse 1, be ye therefore followers of Elohim as dear children. Now we know when it says be followers of Elohim as children, as dear children, you know when you have children, you want your children to be what to you? Obedient. Because you're not going to tell your child something wrong intentionally. And so when they disobey, then it hurts them. You know, why are you treating me as adversarial when the things that I'm telling you out of love. Giving you the best advice I can give you out of love. Now, we have the greatest advisor that there is. You can't get any higher advice than from the Most High. So when he says to walk after him as dear children, that's what we want to do. We want to come to him with that mindset that we know that he knows what's best for us. And when we walk contrary to that, then we're going to have problems. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet smelling savor or a sweet smelling odor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So we have read these verses before, and you see this enough in the scripture, you have to know that it's a big deal. Because it's not just this is a resounding message throughout the scripture. And so we know in the land that we live in the last days, in the places that we live, we know that this spirit is prevalent, the spirit of lust, the spirit of pleasure. It's nothing new, because this was also, Paul was coming up at the time of the Roman Empire, and it's the same empire that's in place today. So this spirit that runs with this particular empire is still alive and well. So the things that he's saying to the Ephesians, we still find that people suffer from today. So let's take heed to this. Let's continue. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of Elohim. So we have to keep it real. The scripture says, if you do these things, you have no inheritance in the kingdom. And so we can't be practicing that. Just to
Shalom.
All right. Shalom.
Okay, shalom.
All right, let's continue.
Brother Miles, your phone is going in and out.
It's going in and out? I'm sorry, did you say my phone was going in and out?
You could be heard, but your phone was going in and out for the last minute.
Okay. Yeah. Is anybody else having that problem with my phone as well?
Well, you went out for one minute, but you got back.
Okay. I muted myself just a few minutes ago. Yeah, I muted myself just a minute ago.
Okay.
Okay, so I can be heard good right now.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, amen. All right, let's continue. So what is the last thing you think you heard?
Verse 5.
All right,
yes.
Amen, thank you. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of Elohim. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Elohim upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So in this kingdom, we know that as we walk in this time, we are called to walk upright, to not be partakers in these things. And we know that in this country, this is probably one of the biggest spirits running around, the spirit of lust, because all of these things tend to stem out of that spirit. So a whoremonger is a man that runs after women. And he's running after what? Loose women. Women that will sleep around. And one of the things that we have to understand as kingdom citizens, the Most High holds the woman to a real high standard. And she should hold herself to a high standard. So she can't give in to the spirits that are in this land, because the spirits that are in this land would tell her, hey, you don't need a man for nothing, but what you need him for. You got your own house, you got your own car, you got your own job. You are self-sufficient. And so the one place where you may be lacking at may be intimacy. But the Most High says that you can't get the spirit of the land and feel like, hey, I can just have somebody for when I need them to do whatever with. Okay, so we want to make sure that we stay away from this thing. So a man that does that, you know, there has to be a woman involved for him to be a whoremonger. An unclean person. Now, this is the one right here that we really don't ever deal with. You never really hear people saying that, oh, being unclean will keep you out of the kingdom. Because we say we follow the dietary laws, but we never really say that we follow the cleanliness laws. And we feel like we can break those anytime that we want. You know, that's just not that important. But what does Scripture say? Nor unclean person, and a skip, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of Elohim. So the cleanliness laws matter. You know, we can see a fornicator not getting in. We can see a whoremonger not getting in. We can see an adulterer not getting in. But then when it comes down to somebody being unclean and not keeping the dietary laws, which will make you unclean, which not keeping the sanitary laws that make you unclean, you know, not obeying the Most High sexual tenets that he puts in place when he says, hey, if you are going to have any parts of anything holy, then don't come together. Because once you come together, you are unclean at least till that nightfall. So no unclean person. You know, we want to think about somebody that is super filthy. You know, their thoughts are always unclean. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that. Plus, any standards that he has put in place to say what determines that you are clean or unclean. So when we do the cleanliness laws, understand that the scriptures say no unclean person shall enter into the kingdom of love. The Most High wants us all to be, you know, of the same mind and following the same standards. And so husband and wife, it's no sin for them to come together as husband and wife. But then if they're going to come together as husband and wife and take part in anything holy, then there's a problem there. Okay? And so we don't want to fall into that. We want to understand what the standards are. All right, let me see if somebody got a question here.
Hey,
all right, 3-1-2.
Praise the Most High.
Praise him, brother. What's up?
Hey, man, I just have one question. Can you, it's possible that we can get more in detail, because it is very important dealing with the unclean, but can we get more in detail what is being unclean? Because we know that about eating, but what else is considered as unclean?
Unclean, okay. I can do it kind of real quick because I don't really have that in the lesson plan to go over it. But to answer your question, if you go back into the book of Leviticus, and it talks about when a man and a woman come together sexually, they are unclean. And that it is sin, okay? And if a woman has an issue of blood, she's on her cycle. If she's on her cycle or after she's had a child, anytime there's blood involved, she is unclean, and she cannot take part in any of the holy things. It's the same way for a man when he has any type of emission from his body, there's semen. And there's no sex involved, but he still had an emission from his body, he is unclean. Let's see what else it mentions in those areas. If you have any type of sore that's oozing on your body, you are unclean. So it's into those nature of things. Some emission from your body that is not normal. Let's say that you have some type of oozing sore, then you're unclean. You know, if you got leprosy, of course, you know you're unclean. If you are having sex or have had sex, then you're unclean. So those are the areas. Childbirth.
Oh, but how can that keep me out of heaven?
How does that keep you? Because it's a sin.
But then, I mean, no, what I'm saying is if I'm doing all of those things, How can that keep me out of heaven? Like, say, if one left this earth, if someone left this earth,
if you
they leave this earth,
and
they're doing these things, but
if you're dealing in uncleanliness, because see, I'm going to stick with the scripture. If you are unclean, let's go back to that verse, because we don't want to say Brother Miles said anything. I don't, you know. Let's go back to verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person. Now, you have to go by the definition of what the Most High says is clean and unclean. He says no unclean person shall enter into the kingdom. That's not Brother Miles saying that. That's the word just said that. So if we personally think that, oh, these things are okay and that's not that grievous, then you have to take that up with the Most High. Because the word says, if you go back into Leviticus, he tells you and defines those things that make you clean and unclean. So a woman has a child. For a male, she's unclean for a certain amount of time. And for a female, she's unclean a certain amount of time. After her period of uncleanliness, she's got to come and bring what? A sacrifice. And a sin offering, because the Most High said it was sin. Okay, now, for the male, the same way. It says if a male has an emission from his body, he is unclean. Now, you're not unclean forever in either case. But the period that you are unclean, you are not allowed to take part in anything holy. So you can't take part of the holy things when you are unclean. If we practice this, whatever it is that's going to make us unclean, and we don't do what the Most High says, you are to wash and you're unclean until the evening. If you do that on Sabbath, then you're unclean the whole Sabbath. And you're not allowed to take part in anything that is holy. So that is the word on that. That's not my opinion. It is what the word of Elohim says. So then he says that no unclean person is going to enter into the kingdom. So, you know, it's not an interpretation. How does that keep you out? It's his standard. So let's read this verse again. For this you know, that no whoremonger, a man that runs after women, who are, let's just say it, whorish, and this is what he's after all the time, nor any unclean person, nor covetous man, somebody who wants what somebody else got all the time, who is an idolator. And an idolater has a couple of definitions. It not only means the worship of idols, but it also means to be idle yourself, meaning that you don't put yourself to do the work and you're kind of lazy and what have you. It means both things. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of Elohim. Now, that's verbatim. And one of the things, like I said, we can see the whoremonger. We'll agree to that. We can see the covetous man. We'll agree to that. We'll agree to the idolater. But then when it comes to an unclean person, this is one of the areas that is rarely taught because, you know, we want to feel like, well, what does that exactly mean? To know what that exactly means, then you got to go back into Torah. Because it didn't, you know, there's very few things that changed in the New Testament. So you got to go back into Torah and look and see what the Most High has declared to be clean and unclean. Not just the animals, but he has that, you know, a man is unclean for certain things. A woman is unclean for certain things. And if they're practicing that, and then they're taking part in the holy things of the Most High, then, and they're not repenting of it, because one of the things that I think will set this, and I have to do this lesson again, brother, to go back into it, because there's specific scriptures that you have to go find. To be unclean is a sin. And so when I found
there
that in the
go.
Word,
now, that's,
before,
now that's what I was looking at, Aki, that it was is sin, and then I'm looking at it's got to be more to it in the way of sin, just like, say, the brother that he's unclean and he's not to touch anything that was holy, whatever, in the temple. And he's not doing that. But yet he's still unclean. He's still obeying, where he's not touching them by him being unclean until the evening. So, but now,
so as long as he does what the law says concerning
But the point is, right, so the point is unclean really deals with, us being spotted with sin, period. Being spotted with sin. Having sin in our life puts us unclean. So what would he mean when he says, I'm coming for a church without spot?
Without sin. But uncleanliness.
Right.
What makes it a sin? What makes sin? The transgression of the law, right? So if he says that being unclean and these things are what define unclean, you can't just say sin. Because he's saying, no, these things that make you unclean are a sin. So you got to look at what makes you unclean. Can't just lump sin on there and say, oh, well, all sin, period. Well, yeah, that you would, if you're in sin, you're unclean. But there's some cleanliness sins. There's some sins that actually make you unclean and sinful.
All sins make you unclean, correct?
Say what?
All sin would make you unclean, correct?
All sin would make you unclean, but there are some specific things that are defined around unclean. So let's say that you have sex with your wife, and then you do something in a service. Okay, the fact that you did that means that you are in sin. Because it goes, there's a law for it, okay? So you just can't say all sin, because somebody might think, oh, the wedding bed is undefiled. So when me and my wife come together, it's all good, because the wedding bed is undefiled. And then they may not even think that, oh, well, wait a minute. So we're going to have sex and we're going to go to church. That act of having sex and then going to church is what the Most High says, don't do. So you can be unclean for the time period. Let's say from till the sun goes down. You go wash, and when the sun goes down, you are considered clean, according to the law. Okay. However, if you went and took part in some holy thing, then there, you got a different issue there. But now you have defiled something that is holy. So it does make a difference. We can't, you know, if you don't know that having sex with your wife and going to do something in the temple or with the Most High, if you don't know that that's sin, you may do it and think, oh, well, it's okay to do that. So when we try, the thing is to identify what is sin. So you can say all sin makes you unclean. You can say that. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't define it, because sin covers, any transgression of the law, right?
Correct.
So if the Most High says that being unclean is a sin, meaning physically unclean, is a sin. If you are unclean in these ways, and then you go and take part in something that is holy, then you are in a greater transgression. Now, when we do the thing is when we were doing those things and we were ignorant of it, we were still in sin. Okay, but we were ignorant that we weren't supposed to be doing it. But then when we know that we're not supposed to be doing that, and then we continue to do it, then now we're in willful sin. Because we don't want to look at it as in something that will keep me out of the kingdom. But the Most High said, it'll keep you out of the kingdom.
Good. Don't use it to try something else outside.
Okay.
I pray. Does that answer your question?
Well, I just say this, Donkey. It's not fully... Because I really feel it's more to it concerning his word. of unclean, but I'm listening. I'm going in and just listen right now. And but I feel it. I just feel it's a. To me, it's a lot more to it dealing with unclean, because I'm looking at where someone that have to say right now that person did the will, and they were unclean. Like I said, until the evening. What I'm trying to say is they're unclean, and they're not touching this thing. And they said, you know, not to touch the holy thing. And they did it, but now they're not, and they're obeying, and they still left in
then,
that
then,
place
then they are not in,
before the evening.
Right, then if that's the case, I think we're mixing apples and oranges. If they are following the law, okay, they did something, they are unclean, they are not going and touching anything holy, not in transgression in that way. They, you know, they watch what they're supposed to do according to the law until the evening. That's not going to keep them out of the kingdom because they did what they were supposed to do. But when you are knowing that these things,
but it had not been, but it's not evening yet. But it wasn't evening yet. That's what I'm just saying. It's a lot more to it than this the unclean point.
Wait a minute,
because the person that
you need to read the Leviticus of Levonite.
Yeah, wait a minute. What are you talking about? It's not evening yet. I'm not understanding your statement there.
If they're still unclean, they left this earth where they were obedient, but they left the earth and it was not even evening yet, so they were still unclean.
If the person did something and they died.
Right, and they left this earth like that, and it was like obedient.
In that case, I ain't got a heaven or a hell to put them in. In that case, they're in
the
dominion of the Most High.
But what we're saying is, what I'm saying is that it's got to be more with unclean, because unclean is, like I said, it's dealing with more of the sin aspect. I'm just saying it's more, it's just committing sin also. It just makes you up. Totally unclean. Being in sin, being a disobedience puts you in the place of unclean.
Yeah, but I think you are putting too much into it for the simple fact that we have sins that are defined. We have things that are transgressions of the law that are defined. So if we can go and read that, if you murder somebody, if you kill unjustly, if you steal, if you lay with another man's wife, we have things that are defined that that define what sin is, okay? And they are different types of sin, such as like coveting or fornicating, okay? Different types of sin. But he also is telling you that, hey, if you do something that I have defined is unclean, such as lay with your wife and then come and do something that is holy, then you are in transgression. Now, as long as it's considered sin, but it's considered a cleanliness sin. You don't have to lump it into covetousness, which is a sin. There's all these different categories. This category is unclean as a sin. So you can't just say all sin, because we know all sin is a sin is transgression. So when it's defining, clearly defining that, hey, if you are in this condition, female, woman, if you have a child, if you have a child, then you are unclean for so long. That's a law concerning her cleanliness, okay, and it's considered sin. As a broad perspective, yes, all sin makes you unclean. It makes you spotted before the Most High.
Right. With full respect, my brother, I'm go ahead and just listen to you. You go ahead and go on with it. But I just want to say this one part, because then you can just answer this, and then I'm going to let you just go ahead. I'm not going to hold up this beautiful class. But the main thing is I'm looking at where, just like when the scripture teaches us that the fear of Yahuwah is the beginning, you know, of wisdom, and then tells that how wisdom is for us to take heed to, all right, and how we live. her wisdom is it will keep us spotless. Now this one thing talks about in the book of Proverbs, talks about how wisdom will keep you clean. Now there is no defile in wisdom whatsoever. And so if I do what the wisdom says, even like say if I live my life in a place where the wisdom tells me, like for me, where someone tried to someone comes against me, and I live my life in a place where I don't try to recompense myself with that evil person, and I let Yah just take full control. I'm just living by wisdom. Wisdom keeps me clean and keeps me safe. Where Yah, I'm just saying, say a person right now is living in a place where they do how they want to do. They talk to you how they want to talk. They choose how they people they want to choose. They follow. They choose not to follow wisdom. Wisdom and walking not in wisdom, walking not according to the line by line and precept by the word of Yah, it will put you in the place unclean. You have unclean people that are not living with the wisdom of Yah. They feel like it's not necessary to do what the wisdom said for them to do. And this puts the person to be unclean also. So that says now you are unclean for you're not living in his wisdom. Wisdom keeps us spotless.
But if you're
not
living in
his wisdom,
if you're not living in his wisdom, then you're going to be walking contrary to him, which means you're going to be walking in sin. I mean that
right.
is right.
And if you're not, and that's what I'm saying. So that makes it more to not just where, like you said, then you right. You're picking on truth items. Everything you're saying is truth. And it has to be more because those things are so important for us to take in our lives, to apply to our lives of how we detail ourselves with Yah, and then how he tells us how we should talk, how we should walk, and how the people we should choose. And they're just saying now there's the way that we do things, it makes us unclean. So we're not taking hold to that wisdom. We are unclean, period. This is all I'm saying. That puts you in a place of unclean because you want to live.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with what you said. I'm just saying that in the scripture, one of the areas, as far as unclean, without getting real deep into it, physical cleanliness nobody ever thinks about. We want to make it where it's this super spiritual thing, where we are walking contrary to the Most High, when we know if we are not walking according to his wisdom, then we're going to be walking contrary, which we're going to be in sin, because we're not going to be keeping his laws. But the part of this that I was addressing was simply that there are cleanliness laws, because we know if you're transgressing the law, then you're going to be unclean. You're going to be spotted because you are transgressing the law. But when you talk to most pastors and most churches, they never talk about the cleanliness laws of the Most High.
No,
and they
don't.
Think that
but
keep
that's,
them out
that's
of the
what
kingdom.
I said. You covering that, but then I just say it was to me. It's more in it dealing with an unclean person. You can basically discern with the spirit of discernment. You can see some people how they live their life is unclean because they choose to act in the way of the world. They want to act how they want to talk about people, how they cut people off. All these things is not the way of Yah. That Yah tells us not to do, and a lot of us are doing these things and feeling like it's that this is a way to live. This is how we do things in life, and they think that this is correct. But really, you are living unclean. That's what I'm just saying. Without the wisdom of Yah, you're living unclean. You have no fear. And then that's why it's very important that we, Yah says in in Proverbs 8:13, it tells us that the fear of Yah is to hate pride. Listen to that. It says hate, pride, arrogancy, and the fourth mouth in an evil way. See, that's a way that we do. Just those ways that we go by in living evil will put us in the place of unclean. We have fear of Yah. We got to keep ourselves. In his wisdom, also, we got to keep ourselves how we talk, how we walk, how we live. So, yes, I agree with the laws of the things that not to touch and everything like that, but I believe there's just so much more in it that have to be defined, and it's very important because people feel like that, but we're not doing that,
right.
And I'm not eating pork, and I'm not, I'm on my cycle and I'm not going and touching those things. You know, it's more than that. That's all I was saying.
And I agreed with that from the beginning. But I told you that I was dealing with it from the standpoint that, yeah, pastors will talk about those things, okay?
Yes,
about how people are not acting or how they act toward one another, or if you just walk in and sin. But they never talk about the cleanliness laws. They never mention those things.
Exactly.
Not ever. When I was in the church, I've never heard a pastor say,
they don't teach it. They don't teach that, and that's the very mistake when people, you know, they're not concerned about the law, and they feel like it's, you know, like I said, I couldn't stand. I dealt with one particular pastor that actually was dealing with the scripture we're talking about when he said Paul was dealing while he counted all dung. Like I said, you think Paul actually said he counted the law dung? He was, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, but see, he's saying that, you know, come on, count it done. But that was not what Paul was saying, if you really look at it. Because, you know, then a lot of people base their life and don't understand where the Pharisees come from, where the Sadducees come from. They need to understand stuff like that also. But a lot of that stuff is a place where we don't walk in.
Correct. I don't have an issue with your understanding and bringing forward that other things make you unclean when we're not walking
right. That's all I was saying, because it's really important that people do need to know that, because wisdom says that there's nothing unclean out of wisdom's mouth, and it's telling us to, if we take her and we really apply her in our lives, and really the way we act, the way we talk, how we walk. We really take wisdom in, it's lastly telling us how rich we would be in Yah, how close we would be in Yah, because the scripture talks how Yah possessed it, wisdom, how he loves wisdom, and then wisdom being us, and it keeps us right, it keeps us clean. So it's, all that too is very important, how we live our life. It's not living unclean, not living after the world. So I disagree with you. I agree with you, Akeen. I'm listening to you. So everybody, please, don't be angry with me for holding up on the class, everybody. I apologize. Thank you, Aki, for talking to me.
All right, amen. Yeah, we're dealing with this this spirit, because typically in the way that we carry out the class, these things as far as the scriptures go, we know that walking before Yah and not walking with him correctly, not walking in fear of him, we're not going to be keeping his way. We're not going to be treating our brothers and our sisters the correct way. And so from this standpoint and from these scriptures, no unclean person, I mean, when he says covetous or a whoremonger, those things are what? They're sin. So it's not just talking about just, you know, sin in general, but it's speaking to the person saying, we know these things, like a whoremonger or a fornicator. We know these things are sin. But when it comes, and they make you unclean. But when he says no unclean person, then if it was just talking about sin in general or sin overall, then it could just say, no sinful person shall enter into the kingdom. But it's making distinction between unclean and covetous or fornicator. And those things make us with spot. But the truth of the matter is, there's also just some plain old cleanliness laws that we just don't cover. And that's typically, and what I'm saying is, those things will keep you out of the kingdom. It's not just, you know, if I don't, how I want to put this, it's not just if I'm a fornicator. It's not just if I'm, you know, prideful. It's not just if I am an idolater or a devil worshiper. There are just some plain old uncleanliness laws that make you unclean that just don't get talked about. And those are the things, because the other things people are aware of.
Amen.
They know, hey, if I fornicate, or if I am evil, or I'm hateful talking, they know that these things aren't what the Most High wants out of us as a person. And most churches will teach those things. Hey, you can't, you know, now they won't teach the law. But when it comes down to this is unclean, like let's keep it simple. If you eat unclean animals, you are unclean.
Amen.
Because if they don't follow the dietary laws, then they're never going to know that. They'll read and say, well, it don't apply to me. So when he's bringing up covetousness and dishonor, covetousness or any of this other kind of stuff, other kind of normal, well, I'm going to say, I don't know, I hate to say normal sin, but common sin, things that people do that walk contrary to the Most High, whether it's they're stealing or they are committing adultery, those types of things. But when I read it in this verse right here, when he says no unclean person, automatically, if we don't go by the law, then we're going to think that, oh, this has to apply to how we're walking, sin in general. But it doesn't have to apply to that, is what I'm saying. This can just apply to, hey, you are not following the cleanliness laws of the Most High. And you could be, let's say that you don't steal and you don't fornicate and you don't, you're not covetous. You're not any of those things, but you think it's okay to have sex with your wife and then go to church. Then it covers that. If you think that, if you have a wet dream and you have an omission and you can get up and go and do whatever, it covers that. Things that the church never talks about, that, you know, is just not part of what they think, because they don't go into the law. So without the law, they would make this, it has to be something other than that. And I'm saying that these things, a woman's cycle, sexual intercourse, an oozing sore, not obeying or observing the observation time and coming repentant to the Most High after childbirth, these are things that the church will not tell you are sins. Because, you know, they just look at it, oh, it's just physical cleanliness. But the Most High says that it's sin. The other things I think people can, they most of the time will get that, hey, if you're hateful, so if you hate your brother, then you are a murderer. We get those things. But I'm just saying that the other things that will keep you out of the kingdom that are just so simplistic that the church never talks about. I was never told in the church, hey, if you sleep with your wife and then go to the church and get up on the pulpit, that you are in sin. Was never taught that. If I have sex with my wife and then I just, you know, get up and just go. Don't wash, don't do nothing. That evening comes, I'm in sin with the Most High, because it goes toward, you know, a way of living, an expected standard. So that's what I'm mainly trying to get at here, because the other things we'll cover in another area. But the simple things that, because the church and most organizations that don't read the Old Testament, they don't get into it. And so these things will keep you out of the kingdom, because the Most High says that they are sin, and unrepented, and we're still doing it, then we got a problem. But I take to note, you know, seriously, yeah, if we are not walking in wisdom, and if we are not, you know, if we're being prideful, and if we are hating on our brothers or our sisters, if we are walking in sin in general, the sin itself makes us dirty, makes us unclean. whatever the sin may be. So I think that that's a given in most forums. If you are in sin, then we understand that, oh, we're dirty. But a lot of times we don't understand what all makes us unclean. Okay, so let's move on. Let us go to, well, no, we're still in Ephesians. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Elohim on the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in Yah. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto Yah, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, this word reprove means to actually come against, to bring it up. Hey, brother, you know that what you're doing is not right. Or sister, you know what is not, that's not right, and you shouldn't be doing that. We have a problem because people will say, don't judge me. You can't judge me. But the scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says, judge righteous judgment. And judge not, lest you be judged. If you're guilty of doing it, how are you going to accuse somebody else? How are you going to talk against somebody else and if you're guilty of that same thing? But if it's righteous judgment, then you can reprove them. You want to correct them in love, not just to be getting on somebody just to get on them, especially if you're walking contrary. But if you're not walking contrary and you're walking upright before the Most High, as a man or a woman of the Most High, then you have to understand that you have the authority and the responsibility to reprove. Why let your brother walk or sister walk in error? And then if they won't hear it, then we are to actually turn them over to Satan. Now, that's the word. Let's continue. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. So when we know a brother or a sister is walking, and they're walking contrary, then we're supposed to reprove them. We're not supposed to, you pray for them. You give them as a man or a woman of Yah, or if you're the pastor, you give them discipline. Because if a man or a woman can't be disciplined, then they can't be corrected. And we know that if we leave it to ourselves, how many times have we said, we've sinned, and we say, forgive me, Lord, or forgive me, God, and then turn around and do it again. But if you had to confess that thing to someone, and someone knew what you were doing, it has a tendency to make you walk upright a little bit more. It has a tendency to hold you accountable. And all these things are to be done in love, not maliciously. Not so to, to put a person down or to make them feel some kind of way, but to correct them. As we talk about discipline, it's not about punishment. Discipline is about correcting. Just as you discipline your child, you're not disciplining your child to hurt them. You're disciplining them to correct the behavior in them. And then if they won't correct the behavior, then punishment comes. So first correct, and then if they won't hear that, then you punish. And the punishment is a lot of times not meant to correct the behavior. It's a penalty. And I think a lot of times people get those two mixed up. Discipline to correct the behavior. Punishment is a penalty. So we have to reprove, and as a body of believers, when we join a church or organization, then we are to submit ourselves in love. And anything that comes is for the edifying, all the spiritual gifts are for the edifying of the body, for the perfecting of the saints. But if we can't be corrected, if we can't be disciplined, then we can't be corrected. And if we can't be corrected, then we're going to walk according to our own understanding and in our own ways. And we're going to be cancerous to the body because we won't bring ourselves up under. But all things, verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of Yah is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When we talked about substance abuse, and we found out that the root of all substance abuse is pleasure. When it says be not drunken with wine, he also adds with that, with what? In excess. Meaning that every time you're drinking something, you're drinking it for the buzz. You're drinking it for the feeling that it gives you. If you've had a problem with alcohol in the past, then you probably don't need to touch it, even in any wine, because it might invoke that old spirit that you had for that particular thing. So drinking wine is not a sin. But being a wine bibber, somebody who drinks to get drunk, or drinks for the buzz. You may not even be totally sloppy drunk. You're just buzzing and you're living for that. Because it gives you pleasure. Gives you joy. Part of that abuse. Substance abuse. So we don't want to be that person that's walking in that light. Speak to yourselves in song and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to Yah, giving thanks always for all things unto Elohim and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach. Submit yourselves one to another in fear of Elohim. We know from love that we are supposed to look out for each other's welfare. We're supposed to submit ourselves one to another. And look out for each other's welfare. I'm looking out for your well-being. I'm trying to make you wealthy. I'm not trying to get over on you. We're supposed to look at each other that way. I was hearing a story on TV, and this man was talking about the law of contribution. Where you don't look out for yourself, as you know, you're not looking to get over, but you're looking to provide or contribute whatever it is that the Most High has given you to contribute. And so it's not a totally godly show. I'll just put it that way. It's not a spiritual concept that he was speaking from. But it goes a lot toward what the Most High said concerning his kingdom, that we are to consider each other and each other's welfare, and that we shouldn't be trying to get over on each other. So this was coming from the standpoint of money is evil, and because money is a form of enslavement, that you work for money, and then everything that you buy, you got to pay money for it. It's a form of enslavement, is basically what he was saying. But in societies where they had no money, everybody worked for the good of everybody else. So if you were a stranger and you came by and you had need of food or a place to sleep, they just provided it. And this is in times past. It's also what the Most High is saying in his word, If you see a saint or anybody in need, whether it's your enemy, if they be hungry, feed them. Love your enemy. Love your brethren. So we want to make sure that we are, from love, dealing toward each and everyone's welfare. If I see you in need and I know you have a need and I can provide for your need, I ought to just to provide. And not seeking payment for it, because a lot of times we do things because we're looking for payment. We're looking for something out of it rather than just seeing the need and filling the need. So from love, a position of love, if I love you and I see that you are in need, then I'm not going to wait for you to ask, do you need help? I'm going to come out and say, I see that you need this. Now, your pride might say, well, I didn't ask for that. No, but I'm not asking you out of your pride or to upset you. I just see you have the need for it, and as your brother, I want to do that for you. Right thing to do. Now, if I don't have it and I can't meet your need, then, you know, there's no sin in that because I can't do what I don't have, can't give what I don't have. But the scripture is really teaching us that if we look out for each other's welfare, if I have an abundance of something, then, and I know that you lack in it, you should not be lacking in it because I have an abundance of it. And I shouldn't be charging you for it or making you feel guilty. Because my love for you should say, I don't want to see you in need like that, especially if I can take care of it. All right, let's continue. So when we come together, you know, as the saints, we shouldn't be coming together to gossip or to tear each other down, but it should be to lift each other up in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, because those will keep our mind on who? The Most High Elohim. And those we should sing with fear and reverence. It's just like with Passover coming up, and we understand that Passover, the Passover feast, is not a feast of joy. It's not a feast that we come and celebrate and have a good time. But because of our fear of the Most High and respect for what he's done, he says to, by this shall you show my death. Then we know that we have to respect his death and honor those things that he did going up to the cross. And not celebrate, but have a somber and a sober celebration of what he's done, a remembrance. So it's the same way with these things. When we are singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to lift each other up and to encourage each other and to remind us who it is that we serve, that we serve the Most High Elohim, that we serve him with fear and reverence. Now, we know that he is able to deliver us out of any situation, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual, whether it's financial, that he's able to do those things. But more so that we don't go to him like he's an ATM, but reverence him for who he is, the Most High Elohim of creation. That he's our father, but he's to be feared. You know, I truly believe that the Most High wants us all to come to the point that we can worship him and call him our friend. But that's something that we have to earn. We have to earn that position through our obedience, through our fear. You know, when I was in the military, and I sort of see this the same way, when I was in the military and I was in charge, whenever I would go to a new base, nobody there knew me, and the people that were going to work for me didn't know me. And I would come in, and I wouldn't try to be buddy-buddy with them. I'm not your friend. I'm your supervisor or your manager. And until I know that you know what you're doing, then that relationship is supervisor and subordinate. And over a period of time, as I learn you as a person, then I see that you know what you're doing, then maybe we can develop a friendship. And then if I know that when we become friends, that you still understand that it's still supervisor and subordinate relationship, then we can joke around, because I know when you know that when it's time to stop joking, you know what you need to do. And there's never going to be that disrespect there, because you understand my expectations and you know what it is I expect out of you, and you know what the relationship is. And maybe we can become very good friends over time. And after becoming very good friends, we still understand that it's still supervisor and subordinate. So you might be able to talk a little bit more freer. You might be able to say some things to me that I would never have allowed you to say in the beginning. But you've earned my respect, and I have yours. So this is the same way I see that the Most High, through the scriptures. When we are obedient and we submit ourselves to him in fear, understanding that he has the power of life and death over us, that when we fear him and we are obedient in time, he expands that relationship. And he may even call you friend, like he called Abraham. You know, I pray that I get to that place with the Most High at some point. But I know that it's not something that just happens when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. And for what I can see out of most of the relationships I see is that there's not a genuine fear of him. And then when we feel like we've been in the Word a minute, then we feel like we can say things to him like, that cat. What? How disrespectful is that? How are you going to address the Most High as that cat? That shows that there is a lack of understanding, a lack of respect, or this person has become so puffed up that they think that they are equal with the Most High, for real, that they could just address him in any kind of way. So I think that we have to, it's something that you have to earn with him. Let's continue. Fear of Elohim. Submit yourselves one to another in fear of Elohim. Not in fear of me, not in fear of that person, but in fear of Elohim. He's the one that's going to judge you. He's the one that's going to put you in the lake or not put you in the lake. So when we read these next verses, wives, understand that the Most High says you're supposed to put your husband in that place. Let's read this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto Yah. That is talking about a type of love and submission from a husband-wife perspective, that she is supposed to fear her husband as she fears Yah. She's supposed to serve her husband as she serves Yah. Now, if you look at yourself and you look at how you're serving your husband, is that how you would serve Yah? As I said before, the Most High never told the man to make the woman submit. He told the woman that. Submit yourself to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. He didn't say, man, make her submit. she don't do what you say, beat her down. He didn't say that. Told her, even here, that she submit herself to her husband as unto Yah. That's heavy. Especially if her husband don't act like Yah. And if she don't see him in that way in her life. But when she marries that, whoever she marries, she's supposed to submit herself as unto Yah. So if you want to badmouth your husband, or you want to usurp his authority, if you don't think he knows what he's doing and you think you know better, submit yourself. Because I'm sure most of us would never tell the Most High what he's doing. Oh, no, Yah, that's wrong. You can't do it like that. You can't say that. So let me put it a different way. In a marriage, one of the things that the wife has to realize is that if her husband is being the head, then he has the right to be wrong. He can make a bad decision, because whatever happens behind that decision, he's the one that has to correct it. He's the one that has to make it right if he's being the head. So he has the right to be wrong. And, you know, I thought we were going down the right path, but, you know, I made the decision to go this way. Now, if he's not a fool, he's going to listen to his wife. Or else why have her as his wife? If he doesn't allow her to contribute to him that way, if he doesn't trust her that way, if he thinks that he can't depend on her that way, then they got problems, real problems. But the truth of the matter is, from a relationship standpoint, she is told to submit as unto Yah. So whenever she feels like she wants to disagree or do whatever, she needs to remember this verse. I know when I first start teaching this, the looks on the women's face were like, you must be crazy. Well, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with Yah, and you're arguing with the word of Yah. It's just like when it comes to in all relationships, there's a great amount of responsibility that the Most High puts on the woman to value herself. To value herself in all ways. To be without spot, to be a virgin, to care about herself that I'm not just going to give this away to just anybody. And then when she does marry, then she understands that she has made a choice, that this is her head. How much of a head? As unto Yah. Something that a lot of women don't learn coming up. You know, they go through relationships, they get married, they're equal partners in the relationship. But the truth of the matter is, your husband is your head. And Yah says, treat it as you're submitting to him. We may have a hard time with that. But understand that that's not Brother Miles is saying. I believe that. Trust me, I do. I believe that. But this is word. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto Yah. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Agape-type love, that I would give my life for you type of love. If somebody's coming in the house, I don't go say, baby, go check and see who that is coming in. But if somebody's going to die, then let it be me. You are protected. If somebody's going to go without, let it be me. Let me first be servant to you. And in return, you're supposed to be submitted to me as unto Yah. So understanding that I have your good always in mind. Always. To love you as Christ loved the church, that he gave himself for it. Your husband should be willing to give himself for you. If he had to work three jobs to make sure that you're happy because that's what he agreed to when you got married, or he knew that you wanted these things, then if he's not willing to do those things to get it, then he really wasn't really trying to make you happy as his wife. But the key to these things is, if I love you like Christ loved the church, then you have to submit to me as unto Yah. That's the relationship. That's the love. What kind of love do you have for Yah? What if the scriptures told you to serve your husband with fear and trembling? That's the type of love that we're supposed to have for Yah, fear and trembling. You're also told to worship your husband or to serve him with fear and trembling. Your husband. I ain't supposed to fear my husband like that. Yes, you are. But we think now, if we talk about that, we might think that that's an abnormal relationship. But it is a godly relationship. And if your husband is godly, then he's not going to do anything without you being at the forefront of the thought, without your best interests always at hand. Not trying to make you do anything that is illegal, immoral. But will treat you as the woman of Yah that you are, saint of the Most High. And you know, a lot of brothers, they believe that, but they believe that they're supposed to make the woman submit if she don't submit. And a lot of them will corrupt those verses, believing that they're supposed to beat you into submission. Oh, you won't obey? No. The Most High gave us the rights to do the animals that way, but the woman is his equal. She's to be protected. She's to be, Christ put the church first, laid down his life for it. Because I go to make you a place, that where I am, there shall you be also. That you won't want for anything in the kingdom. He says it's going to be so good, you're not going to have no sickness. You're not going to be hungry. You're not going to be in pain. There's not going to be any war. You're not going to have those worries. Come and free Eli from the and eat freely from the tree of life, and be taken care of. In this life, he expects the man to do the same thing, to provide for his wife as Christ provided for the church, up to the point, all the way to the point that he's willing to give his life for her. You know, we have lost a lot of these things because we are not loving the way that we're supposed to love as being part of the kingdom in husband and wife relationship. But if you tell women today, submit yourself as unto the Lord, as unto Christ, I ain't no slave. I ain't no servant. I ain't this, I ain't that. It's the spirit of feminism. If I give myself to you that way, I ain't going to feel like nothing. Do you want to be a godly woman? Do you want to be a holy woman? Then you must submit yourself to your husband, not to every man. Let me make that clear. Not to every man. Every man ain't your husband. Every man like your brother in Christ. But when it comes to that marriage, you submit to your husband as unto Yah. Husbands, love your wife as Christ did. Verse 25 again. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That washing of water by the word means that you are supposed to use this word to reprogram yourself, to wash out your mind, to wash out your spirit, but to replace the things, the thoughts of the world with the scripture, with the word of Yah, with his thought. So that when you read these verses right here, submit yourself as unto Yah, in your spirit you will agree with it. Spirit will be rewritten. Your mind will be rewritten. The more words you have in you, the easier it is to do. When you got just a little bit of word and you hear that and you counting on worldly ways and worldly thoughts, that scripture sounds foreign to you. Even for the man, because you got men out here today that die for her. What are you talking about? This is about the money. But this is about sex. It ain't about all that. Somebody come into the house, first one out the door, Yah bless them. You get caught by the robber, then so be it. I mean, you got men that think that way. Not saying every man, but you do have men out there that think that way. Or you got women that say, you know what? I'll go first, and I will defend the house. You got a man standing behind you, and you're going to go first, then either he's got a woman spirit or you got a man spirit, one of the two. Something's not right there. All right, let's continue. So you rewrite your mind, you rewrite your thoughts with the word of Yah. You wash your mind out. You wash your heart out. You take the instructions that you have grown up with and you rewrite them. Because the instructions that you grew up with told you to ignore the simple instructions of the Most High. That's what sin is. Sin is the simple instructions nullified, S-I-N, simple instructions nullified. Took the word of Yah and you threw it behind you. You dropped it on the ground. You ignored it. You didn't want to live by it. So you took the word and the instructions that were in the word, you ignored it. Nullified the instruction. That's sin. But when you come to Yah and you are of a mind to serve him in fear and trembling, serve him, the Most High Elohim, in fear and trembling, then these words mean something to you. And you might be like apprehensive, like, really? I got to submit to that man that way? But let the word of Yah be true and me a light. Then Yah says to do it, then I'm going to do it because I fear him. And so I'm going to walk in his way. And the husband the same way. If he washes his mind by the word of Yah, then he understands what type of man he's supposed to be. That first he needs to fear Yah above everything. Then when he reads this word, as far as what he can do and what he can't do and how he's supposed to be, he will be. And he'll look at Messiah in Messiah's life and said, and say, how do I emulate that? How do I be like him so that I can be the husband that the Most High told me to be for my wife? Then I will always put her first. Because you know Messiah's going to always put us first until we get what? Disobedient. That goes into a whole other subject, but let's continue. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If we are walking upright before the Most High, and we have renewed our mind through the washing of the word, then we will begin to walk without spot. If we are 100% committed and submitted, if you are serious and you really fear him, then when you know to do right, you're going to do right. When you know you're not supposed to do X, you won't do X because you fear him. And so just as, you know, when we come to the Most High and we are baptized, we say we understand what sin is and we know what willful sin is. I know that it's wrong to sleep around. I know that it's wrong to steal. I know that it's wrong to want what somebody else has. I know that it's wrong to worship anything other than the Most High Elohim. I know that it's wrong to not honor my father and my mother. I know that it's wrong to hate my fellow man. When we start walking in his ways, when we start hating our enemy, he says, be thou perfect as I am perfect. When we hated Yah, he still loved us. He says, when your enemies hate you, still love them. Be ye perfect in that way, just as he was perfect in that way. Then, you know, when there's difference in willful spotting and ignorant spotting, when you don't know better, God says, okay, it's still sin. It's still a spot. I still see the sin, but you don't know that you're dirty. You don't know that you're doing something to make yourself dirty. Because I'll forgive that. But when you know that getting down on your knees in the mud to do whatever dirt it is that you're about to do, and you know it's wrong, he said that's willful. That's a different type of sin. He says, and you know it, so there is this certain looking for a judgment for you. Because it's not like you didn't know. And when we fear him and we understand fear him, then we're not going to do that thing that we know is wrong. So we start walking. We stop getting dirty. When Yah makes space for us and he cleans us up, then we don't go back and get dirty. We don't go back and willfully get dirty. This is what he's talking about. So we can't be, say we come to him and know that fornicating is wrong and then just say, I slipped. I fell. I got weak. Because you really don't fear him. You desired that thing more than you fear him. You don't fear that judgment is coming. This is the things that he's talking about without spot. He said, you know, you're going to do some things. You come to me, and none of y'all perfect. But as you learn to do better, you ought to do better. So we consider what the cost is of this life. We consider. What do we have to give up? What do we have to do? He says, Messiah said, no man builds a house without considering how much it's going to cost him. At least he come up short and can't finish the house. Oh yeah, I was gonna build that mansion with $1,000. But that mansion cost him $10,000. Just saying the price out there. Don't anybody take me to heart on that. But he didn't have enough money. He said, when you come into this walk, you ought to consider that exact same thing. What is it going to cost you to walk this walk? To live holy? Can you love your husband as unto Yah? Husband, can you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Can you both stop walking contrary? Because we were all in the world at one time, and we brought things into the church out of the world and some things we didn't want to let go of. Can you let those things go as Yah rewrites your mind? As you learn, that's wrong. That is ungodly. Can you hold yourself to it, that you be spotless? This is what Christ did for us. He made a way that we might be a bride and spotless. We're the ones that fall down. We're the ones that we are not fearing Elohim, so that when we come to him, we're not coming to him in the spirit of fear. We're not coming to him in the spirit of fear. So we think it's okay if we slip. He's a forgiving God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's all those things. But he don't play. And everything that we've read in the scripture says he don't play. Even in the parable about the 10 talents or the 10 pounds. Messiah said, you knew what type of man I was. You knew I was an austere man, a rough man, and that I didn't play. And you didn't take it serious? So he says he wants us to love each other. And he's giving us the levels and the degree that he wants us to love each other. Husband, love your wife like I loved you, like I loved the church, that I was willing to come and give myself, even when the church was contrary to me, even when the church had me angry and they were walking in their own way, even when my wife killed me, I still loved her and gave myself for her. Love your wife that way. What? Submit yourselves as unto Yah. I doubt if very many of us would cuss Yah out or talk back to Yah if we really feared him. See, that's a whole different level of love from both parties. But this is that kingdom type of love, not that worldly type of love, where I love you until I have a change of heart for you. Then I don't love you no more. I want a divorce. I want to walk away. Now you made me mad. You did something and it ain't forgivable. You hurt my feelings. You committed adultery against me. And I can't forgive it. But Yah says there's only one sin that is not forgivable. And that's to blaspheme him. And he said, serve him with fear and trembling. Obey him in everything that you do. And when we take the word of Yah and corrupt it and make it evil and profane it by not doing it, then be in trouble. So let's have that godly type of love where Yah came and he first loved us when we didn't love him. We were contrary to him. But he still loved us. That's why he says, love your enemy. Let's continue. We want to be without spot. We want to walk before him perfect. And he tells us what that perfection is. That we treat people like he treats people, like he has treated us. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as Yah the church. So the husband's supposed to treat his wife like he want to be treated. I mean, it's kind of real simple. Treat your wife like you want to be treated. You don't want nobody treating you like a servant? Don't treat your wife like a servant. Even if she's fully submitted to you. You know, I've seen relationships where the wife would be at her husband's feet. And whatever he wanted, she was up and she was about getting it. And in a lot of those relationships, the husband became abusive because he could never do the same thing for her. Started looking at her as that servant rather than as his submitted wife, that she gets tired too. That maybe he should do this thing for her. Maybe I'll get him to get the water for us this time. Oh, no, yeah, I'll cook. Don't worry, I got the kitchen. I'll clean it. Put her in that special place, even when she's been 100% submitted. But when the thing is right, it is very good. There's nothing like that relationship where your wife is submitted to you. And you are submitted to her in the ways that the scriptures say that you are to be submitted. And both of you, because you fear Yah, and you just want to be right with Yah. You love your spouse, but this is the way the Most High says you are to submit to your spouse out of fear of him. And if we don't fear Yah, then we surely don't fear and worry about keeping his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, or about doing what the scriptures tell us to do as individuals. As a man, as a human being, we want to protect ourselves. We want to take care of our health. We want to make sure ourselves are taken care of. He says, you should take care of your wife the way you take care of yourself. As a man. So you shouldn't have this $40,000 car and your wife riding around in a hoopty. You wouldn't be seen in a hoopty, so why would you make her be seen in one? Having genuine love for her as you love yourself. Now, maybe the problem might be that you don't love yourself. So you can treat her like that because you really don't have a love for yourself. Maybe you're not healthy mentally or spiritually. Maybe you've got a problem like that. Those things can be worked out when we come to Yah. When we will submit ourselves, even to those in authority. I got this problem. And I want to do better. I just don't know how. Then maybe you can be helped. Maybe it's something from childhood that you've been carrying your whole life. Maybe you felt like you were taken advantage of or nobody ever respected you. And so here you got this woman now, and you're just going to make her respect you. but not in accordance to the law of love. Not loving her like Christ loved the church. You would rather almost take her life than to give your life for her. Because you're dealing with this thing from your childhood. But Yah is able to deliver you from that thing. And the same thing, woman. Maybe you're dealing with some things from childhood. And you've brought them forward into your grown-up life, into your marriage. And you're never going to let a man have that type of authority over you because of what happened to you. But if you want to live like Yah says and have that kingdom love and the love that he's intended for every man and woman to have toward each other as husband and wife, then maybe you need to be healed from that. Let's continue. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Just like we are supposed to be one spiritual body, all different members, Yah says that the husband and wife, when they get married, are to be one. This in submission to this part. This person in submission to that person. Both in submission to each other. Decent and in order. Decent and in order. With fear and trembling. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that you reverence her husband. Reverencing your husband. Husband loving your wife as Christ loved the church. If you both are giving 100% in the relationship, not 50-50, because, you know, we come into relationships, we want 50-50. That is not a kingdom type of love. That is a world type of love. If you're giving me 50%, where are your other 50% going? Probably someplace that ought not go. So let us walk according to the word of the Most High. Let us not walk according to our own understanding. Submit yourself to the word of Yah. Husband, wife, man, woman. Brothers, don't be going after the women like they're a piece of meat. Show our sisters some love and respect and not think of them just as a sex object or something that to be used to satisfy your needs. And bring your bodies into subjection. Don't be just getting married just so you can have sex, because then when everything else is bad, now you got problems. So bring your body into subjection. If you haven't found the right one for you, maintain. Pray to Yah that he would give you what you desire, that he would send the one to you that is for you. Too many times we are jumping into relationships because we want that physical act. We're tired of going to bed alone, and the first somebody that comes along speaking kind of nice. Oh, that's good enough for me. That's the one for me. first one that comes along that smiles at you and tells you what you want to hear. How do you know what you want to hear? Because you told him. He talked to you. He found out what you like, what you don't like. But you need to make sure that he ain't no sheep in wolf's clothing. That he ain't no wolf, that the other way. He ain't no wolf in sheep's clothing. He's going to say to you whatever he needs to say to you to get you to do what it is that he wants you to do. So maintain and make sure that if Yah, if it's meant for you to be married and to be with someone, that you're with the one that Yah has given, made for you to be with. With that being said, I pray that we can understand this type of kingdom love. This is the relationship that the Most High wants for the husband and the wife. And he wants to make sure that you're not walking and doing things. You know how we come out of the world, and when we were in the world, we were doing all kind of things. We learned to like all kind of things. Some of us been looking at porn and saying, oh, I want to try that. Never mind if it's perverse. And then wanting to have your spouse do it. Make sure that you are still walking holy. That we are still sanctified. That being said, let us pray. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, it is you that has ordained the institution of marriage. It is you that has set the law concerning these things. Father, we just want to be obedient to your word and to your law. Whether we be man or whether we be woman, we want to be obedient to you. We want to walk in fear of you. Let our walk be pleasing in your eyes. If we have a problem with submission, Father, strengthen us in that area. Let us understand that all service is unto you, even to husband and wife. It is unto you. So if we understand that, Father, put it deep within our hearts that this relationship, husband and wife, that has been ordained by you, that it is holy, that it is sanctified, and that you shall judge us even how we are in our marriage. So, Father, strengthen us. Increase our faith. Give both man and woman the heart to be more submitted to each other, that we might walk in your ways, and that our relationships, our marriage, be the of the kingdom type of love that you have ordained. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. This is Tuesday. Thursday is Passover. Thursday night starts Passover. We want to come together and we want to be submitted to the Most High Elohim. We want to, it's about him. It's not about us. These are his feast days. We want to honor him in reverence. in fear, in deep respect for the things that he has done for us, bringing our forefathers out of Egypt, and for the things that he has done for us, providing a way for us out of the bondage of sin, that he was willing to come and lay down his life that we might be able to come back into right relationship with him. We don't want to treat that act that he performed as something common. We don't want to take his death and treat it disrespectfully. So we will honor him and the work that he has done. We will thank him, and we will glorify him, and we won't dishonor him or disrespect him. I pray that we all be here, 7 p.m. sharp, and let us raise up our Most High Elohim and give him glory and honor. Because without his Passover, without Messiah, we would have no way. We would never have left Egypt, and we would still have grown up in bondage. We would have grown up worshiping the gods of Egypt had the Most High not come and taken us out. And as mankind in general, mankind had no way out of sin. But Messiah came and made the way and opened back us up to us the kingdom, laid down his life for us. So we want to show him all honor and respect and give him all the glory. Father Yah, thank you. Can't wait to praise and worship you on your predefined day that you have given us to honor you in this thing that you have done in love for your people and for the world. Father Yah, as we go our separate ways tonight, please keep your angels on assignment. Let them keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, family. See you at see you on Passover. Yah bless you.
Shalom.
So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Just without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? Wait.